I'm looking for like a simpler, calmer life. I feel like I got to a place where I've become very stable financially, but now I'm like shifting into this place of actual freedom. Mm-hmm. There's a difference for me, at least, between like stability and freedom. Like what I'm experiencing now is freedom.
Yes.
Like freedom in the time and location and not being tied to one place and just the spaciousness that I have now.
Welcome to the Money Skills for Therapists podcast, where we answer this question: how can therapists and health practitioners go from money shame and confusion to feeling calm and confident about their finances and get money really working for them in both their private practice and their lives? I'm your host, Lindsay Bonham, therapist turned money coach and creator of the course Money Skills for Therapists. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. Today's guest is Jaleesha Gatling. Jaleesha is back on the podcast today for the third time, I believe. Jaleesha is a graduate from my original cohort of Money Skills for Therapists in 2018. She also coached with us in Money Skills for Therapists. She was the first coach that I hired. And today, Jaleesha is going to share about her experience of selling all of her things, leaving the United States in December, just in the nick of time, and traveling the world and working as a therapist from wherever she wants to be. Today, Jaleesha and I talk about the barriers that were in the way of her making this move that she really wanted to make. We talk about the ideas of creating financial stability versus financial freedom. We talk about creating freedom and richness within the context of what you have. You know, Jaleesha is not married. She doesn't have kids. I have a child. I am married. I own a home. So we talk about what connecting with that freedom and richness means in each of our own lives. Jaleesha messaged me out of the blue a week or so ago telling me about her adventures, and I was so inspired that I asked her to come on the podcast right away. Here is my conversation with Jaleesha Gatling. So Jaleesha, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. Yeah. I think it's your third time coming on the podcast. Does that
make sense?
Yeah, that feels right. And I was just saying to you off mic before we started recording that, you know, you and I have known each other for 7 years now. You were in the very, very first cohort of Money Skills for Therapists. You were in the cohort that I was building the course as I taught it. So I've had the honor of witnessing these really cool transformations in your life in the 7 years that we have known each other. And I'm excited to dig into what is happening with you right now around money and life and work, because you've done some cool stuff. So can you tell us about where you are now? What have you been doing?
Yeah, so I have continued to be in solo private practice working with couples. December of last year, 2024, I decided to break my lease and get rid of all my stuff. I sold all my things and I packed 2 bags and I started gallivanting across the UK. I'm now currently in Southeast Asia. I just left Vietnam. I'm now in Thailand. And I haven't really talked much about this, but this has been something that I've wanted to do like pre-meeting you.
Yeah.
So I was like, absolutely no, I don't want to retire in the US. And, you know, working for myself and being able to shift into teletherapy has always been the plan, even like pre-COVID. So I finally decided to do it. I just like kind of ran out of excuses and decided to do it scared. And yeah, I'm kind of on a residency kind of strategy plan. Like I'm looking for some place else to call home. Mm-hmm. So that's a short summary.
Yes. So this is something you've always known you've wanted to do. I love the word gallivanting. That's the word that I use too. Gallivanting around the world, right? Like right now, you're not really tied down to any one place.
No, not tied down to anything. I went to the UK. I just left the UK in March. I needed some warmer weather, but that was like a lovely experience. I was doing some house and pet sitting actually. And so it really like offset costs and I got to hang out with like the best dogs and cats ever. Really like way more meaningful than I expected it to be. Like I'm still connected with the pet parents. And I mean, it's just been lovely. Like Scotland, all over the place. It's been amazing. But anyway, I'm here in Asia now and I'm looking for like a simpler, calmer life. I feel like I got to a place where I've become very stable financially, but now I'm like shifting into this place of actual freedom. Mm-hmm. And before, I used to talk about, you know, financial freedom, and there's a difference for me, at least, between like stability and freedom. Like what I'm experiencing now is freedom.
Yes.
Like freedom in the time and location and not being tied to one place and just the spaciousness that I have now.
Yeah. And that distinction between stability and freedom is really interesting because a lot of folks that I think about that, you know, we've supported when you worked with me back in Money Skills for Therapists a few years ago, and that we've supported first, like stability is what they're looking for first, right? It's like, get out of that feeling of constantly being behind, financially stressed, like not able to make bills. And so finding that financial stability, which, you know, I'm a huge fan of stability, right? I get real jazzed about stability. So, you know, helping folks have that like regular paycheck, get you out of that, like, this is an amazing month, I'm rich. And like, oh my God, I'm poor. How am I going to make my bills? Right. So let's get out of the kind of unnecessary emotional roller coaster that just has to do with your revenue and your business, because our emotions should not be dictated by what's coming into our business. So there's a stability making there. But I'm hearing for you, it's like, once you got to stability, that's not really what you wanted. Right. Like people talk about financial freedom. But I also think a lot of folks who get to that point of financial freedom, and I'm putting that in quotations, of, you know, where there's really nothing left to worry about financially, just find other shit to worry about, right? They just kind of like, yeah. There's kind of this interesting, like, I don't know, like human condition piece that happens there where you just find other things to be stressed or unhappy about. And I'm hearing for you, once you hit stability, it's given you the financial means to do things you want to do, right? Like it costs money to get on a plane, and the UK is like not a cheap place to be, and you know, that kind of stuff. What you have, what I'm hearing for you is like freedom is what you're really looking for.
Yeah. Like, I mean, more peace, peace of mind. There's just so much going on in the US, as we all know. It's so hard. And I really want to live in a place where like everything is centered around work. I mean, I think that's another piece. Being in these cultures, no one's asking me what I do for work. Like, no one cares.
No.
And it's helping me to like continue to divorce my worth with how much I make or what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's been like something I've been trying to work on the past few years. And it's just so much easier. People are like, what do you like to do? Who are you? You know, it's so interesting and I love it.
Yes. Yeah, we are in North America. Such a work-obsessed culture. And I think part of it is the cost of living is so high, right? Like it costs a lot to live here. And like, especially in Canada where I am, you know, the cost of housing has gone bananas in certain cities, especially where you have to work so hard just to like have a toehold in living in the place that you want to live, right? So like, I think that that is part of it is like cost of living when most of your time has to go to not just working, but making sure you're earning a really good living. That is a really important part of your identity. Because if you neglect that, you're going to lose your house.
Exactly. There's a lot at stake.
Yeah, there is a lot at stake. Yes.
Feeds into the anxiety and it's constant because, I mean, everything you just said, I totally resonate.
Yeah. And so, you know, what you're doing now is what people have referred to over the last few years as like a digital nomad kind of life, right? Like you're able to work in the US. So you're earning US dollars. Which is pretty key, I think, to this strategy.
Yes.
To be clear. But you're able to enjoy the cost of living in other places. Now, that being said, the UK, very expensive. I feel like the geographic arbitrage does not work in the UK. But certainly in Southeast Asia, earning in US dollars, I'm going to assume like you're pretty comfy.
I am. I mean, it's interesting because though I'm more comfortable than I was, I still have to catch myself. Sometimes it's like, oh, there's too much space. Like you kind of said, you find new things to worry about.
Yes.
And so I'm still very much a work in progress on like getting out of the productivity trap.
So I'm curious, like the lifestyle that you are living right now, do you think this is something specific about your personality? Do you think that like lots of folks would benefit from, you know, letting themselves just like explore and wander? I'm thinking about like therapists who are listening. Do you think that it's a common overlap that therapists also, you know, like really deep down, we want to be free?
Do you dread tax time because you haven't saved enough for taxes? Are you totally confused and lost about your business finances? Do you worry that you'll never be able to retire or save for your kids' college education? If you bury your head in the sand because you think you'll never be a money person, I want to let you in on a huge secret. All you need to manage your private practice finances are a simple series of skills that you can learn. After all, You already did the hard work of graduating from college, becoming a therapist, and starting your private practice. Hi, I'm Lindsay Bonham. I'm a therapist turned money coach and the creator of Money Skills for Therapists. I've helped hundreds of therapists just like you develop peace of mind about their money. I invite you to watch my free masterclass where I teach my four-step framework to get your business finances totally in order. In the masterclass, I cover the three biggest mistakes that therapists make that keep them from getting clarity on their private practice finances, the secret that most accountants don't want you to know, and why working with your mindset and emotions is essential to changing your patterns with money. This masterclass is for therapists and health practitioners who are running or about to start a private practice. It is the first step in learning about my signature course, Money Skills for Therapists. Register today with the link in the show notes to take the first step to go from money confusion, anxiety, and shame to feeling clear and empowered about your money. I look forward to supporting you.
But we're kind of tied to responsibility.
I think it's pretty common. The feedback that I've gotten just from sharing with colleagues and therapist friends has been supportive of that.
Yes.
Hypothesis. I'm already like getting to the point where I want to like chill. Like I think I'm going to be in Thailand for a hot minute. Like yeah. I was in Vietnam for 1 month and it gave me just so much space and time to really explore the neighborhood. And I got to know a lot of locals and like I have people that I'm absolutely going to go back and see. And it was just amazing. I know I'm not the only one because I definitely, you know, was looking into different communities of therapists that are doing telehealth around the world. So yeah. I didn't end up working with anyone specifically in the therapist realm, but was following a few things and was thinking about it. And I'll also add this. I mean, I don't have really a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. I'm not married. I don't have anyone else I have to consider. I don't have kids. And so I know that makes a big difference. It's just me. So,
Definitely. Yes.
The scary part of that too, where it's like, oh, it's just me. Like it's all on me. So I'm like, is there something about my personality? I've always wanted to travel. So
yes.
Like,
yes. And yeah, I totally hear that. Like what is amazing about it is also what's terrifying about it. Like that level of freedom, like freedom from responsibility also means kind of freedom from, I don't know, there's a lack of reciprocity there somehow. It's like, you're not responsible for anybody, but also nobody's responsible for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I got your message, because, you know, we were chatting a little bit before we started recording, you messaged me, I think 2 weekends ago now, you sent me a message and I'm a practicing digital minimalist to greater or lesser degrees of success, depending on my levels of anxiety. And I saw a message come through from you, which was like 9 p.m. my time on Saturday, which is like pretty damn close to bedtime. And when I saw a photo come through, I was like, oh, this probably isn't for me. Like I, you know, Jaleesha and I haven't chatted in probably like a year. I must have accidentally got added to a channel. But then when I saw it the next day, it was all these fucking beautiful pictures from Vietnam. You've been like, Lindsay, I wanted to give you an update. And interestingly, I noticed for myself, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Number two, I was like jealous. I was like, damn it, Jaleesha's off having fun. And I'm like parenting and having like challenges in my business. But then number three, like inspiration immediately. Because something that you said in your message to me was that, you know, that Tiffany and I think you mentioned both of us, as you often do. I feel like we're like a pair in your head, eh? Tiffany McLean and I. That we had inspired you in the work that we've done with you, not just that financially you can have what you want, but that like you have the confidence that you can do anything.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that was a really powerful message for me to receive, I think, at a time where just emotionally in that moment, I was having to make a difficult personal decision. And I was like, Jaleesha can do anything. I can do anything.
I love that.
So it was a nice little feedback loop. I felt really grateful for that. I was like, oh, I put something beautiful out in the universe years ago. And now like you're bringing it back to me because I do think you and I have very different lives, right? I do have a child. Do I ever have a child? So what I'm focusing on right now in my life, my chapter is about creating stability for him, right? And I'm very aware of that. Like as I've kind of zoomed out to do some planning around life and like this idea of buckets or chapters, the book Die with Zero I read recently. And he talks about this idea of like your money, it's not just saving money for the end of your life, where we often think like we're saving for the future, we're saving for retirement. Like I'm gonna have a great retirement, but like not all of us make it to retirement or we don't have health when we're in retirement, right? Like, so thinking about your life in terms of these, he describes them as buckets. I would think about chapters too, where it's like, okay, what are the experiences that you wanna have in your 40s? What are the experiences you wanna have in your 50s? And some of those experiences that you wanna have make a lot more sense in your 40s. Like go do Mount Everest in your 40s, don't wait till your 70s. It's going to be a different situation, right? Yeah. So like thinking about those buckets. So that has helped me to stop and think about, okay, what are the things I want to do in life, but also what makes sense now? So right now, you know, I'm creating stability for my son. We're really involved in his school community, right? Like we have an event tonight. I'm the treasurer of the school council. Surprise. So, you know, I'm going to pick up the float, drop that off, going to count the cash at the end of the night. My partner is going to be like volunteering at the ticket selling table. I got my dad on the barbecue, pulling the grandparents. This is my chapter, which is actually only probably going to be about 10 more years until my son's a teenager and is like, Mom, leave me alone. So it's like, I have noticed that it helps to zoom out and think about, okay, what is this chapter of my life? What needs to happen in this chapter? What's nice to have happen in this chapter? And what should actually not happen in this chapter? So I, for instance, have a dream of doing some sabbatical time. I would love to live in Portland for a good 6 months. We'll see what happens with the US situation. But then I realized it doesn't make sense to drag my son to Portland. Like, that's not good for him, right? It's not good for a seven-year-old to be removed from his friends and from his school and go live in another city where he doesn't know anybody for 6 months. Like, that's actually not a great experience for a child to have. Like, what he needs is the stability to build continual friendships and like learn how to work through things with his friends and like build a community and a sense of belonging. And what I've heard from folks who were moved around a lot by their parents, usually for work situations, is that they never felt like they really had a home, right? Or never felt like they had a community. So that has been helpful reflection for me to be like, yeah, okay, right now is stability time in my own life. But when my son is off and on his own, oh man, do I have plans, right? Like, I love Iceland. I would love to live in Iceland for like a solid year. Fucking love Iceland so much.
You've been there?
Twice.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Jealous.
See, you're jealous of me now. And like, I feel like I'm doing kind of what you're doing a little bit, but in little bursts. So like last year when I turned 40, I made a really big deal of it when I turned 40. And I went to London for a week. And I went to Iceland and I went with Tiffany McLean and Megan Meganson and Anne
Lai. Oh my gosh. I'm jealous now. What? You're going to make my head explode. I can't.
Yeah. So like those three friends who are all, those of you listening might recognize some of those as therapist consultants in the space. Annie Wright is an incredible therapist who's now moved into helping high-functioning women who were underparented, developmental trauma. So, you know, amazing, incredible women who I don't get to see much. So they actually came with me to England, which was fucking incredible, right? Like so beautiful. So now I have these gorgeous memories of them. And then Annie came with me to Iceland. We stayed at like this incredible hotel. So I'm giving myself these like little beautiful experiences. And also I'll say the hotel where Annie and I stayed later that year, the parking lot was filled with lava when a volcano went off nearby. So I was like, great timing for us.
Oh, goodness.
But I feel like for my life, as I think about, you know, our different levels of responsibility, because I'm responsible for a lot of people right now, I'm giving myself this little almost like taste of what you're doing, right? Like this little burst and doing it kind of the high ticket way, going to expensive places, doing all the things. But those memories I have forever now. And just the other day, Megan reflected to me that it's a year ago that we were in London together. But for my life, given the stability that I need to make for my son, I wouldn't be able to do what you're doing now, but I could do it in 10 years, right? So like stopping and thinking about like our context and like, how do we get what we need in our context?
I love you sharing this, Lindsay, because getting a taste, it's like getting out of the all or nothing. And I think like, I didn't have a fully fleshed out plan like I thought I should have over the years, but like, I love you breaking down how you're getting a taste of those things and like how rich those kind of memories are. Mm-hmm. And also, we both turned 40 last year. I turned 40 last year and I had a whole,
Okay. So there you go. Wow. Yeah. Same page. And I think part of that illustrates too, like, so okay, so we're the same age, 1984 babies, how our lives have ended up kind of looking a bit different, but we're both still seeking how do we have the richness that we seek within the context that we have.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I love your reflection of getting out of that all or nothing, because this is something that I talk about too with, you know, my students in the course. Is it's so easy to fall into all or nothing all the time, right? It's like, I have to work super, super hard and make a ton of money to make up for these things, or I have to put all my money on debt. You know, like the fact that I have debt is like the most pressing issue in my life. I have to put all my money there. But usually I find the solution to most of life's problems is somewhere in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, seeking like, what is it that you're actually looking for? So I'm curious, you had mentioned earlier that you had all these excuses for not doing this thing that you really wanted to do. And eventually you ran out of excuses. What were some of the excuses that you gave for not setting out and traveling in the way that you've managed to do now? What was getting in your way?
Well, the big one, it's interesting. It's you don't have enough money saved, or it just felt like it was never going to be enough. Just kind of finally got to a point where it was like, you don't know what the hell you need. like you know, so I don't know. I think I was kind of approaching it in that way, like you're never going to be ready. And then also think about all the scary things that I've done financially with you, even investing in your course and in Tiffany's course. Like for me, that was scary as hell. And just thinking about like, Jaleesha, just do it scared. Like you've done it scared. So that piece years ago, it was like, well, maybe I should wait until I meet someone. And I mean, I've met people, I've dated, whatever, but like, you can't wait. Do that logically. But yeah, part of me was like, it would be nice to not do this alone and have someone with me to kind of share and all the unknowns.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, so that was probably a thing. Or even like dating someone for a couple of years and like trying to talk them into it and trying to work out how they're going to work out their job and do it with me, but them not really truly wanting that for themselves. Yeah. What were other excuses?
Yeah.
I'm not mature enough. I'm not healed enough. I need more therapy. A lot of it was around that.
Like, oh, interesting.
I'm too depressed. I don't know that I'm strong enough to do this. Yeah. Like, I'd say probably like the top ones were you're not mentally sound enough to take on this fucking big journey. And being scared that I was just not going to be able to handle it.
I'm hearing just like a lot of like not enough. Like not enough money, not enough companionship, like somebody should be with me. Not enough like mental fortitude, like I'm not going to be able to handle it. Yeah. And I'm curious, how has it been to just do it scared?
It's been fantastic. I mean, one, I'm not really alone. I mean, even with the pet sitting in the UK, the pets are like the best companions ever. Also, it's not as if I'm like this person who's super anxious. I go out by myself. Like, I don't get anxiety. I'm fine eating alone. I'll do things alone. That's never been really a thing for me. And so when I go out, I meet people. Like, I just do. And so that's not going to turn off. And also, I think and this is even pre-leaving, I've come to really appreciate shorter term connections, or like we don't have to be friends forever or see each other again or whatnot. And so I feel like I'm just having these meaningful connections with people that I probably will never see again.
Yes.
But like,
it's
just been, it's been really nice. And people have been so kind.
Yes.
That's been blowing my mind. So,
and I think that is a really world expanding experience to give yourself in itself, is just let yourself meet people. And realize the goodness of people. Because if I think about, too, where things are politically, especially in the States, like in Canada, we just had an election that went remarkably. Canadians listening, everybody might not agree with me, but I feel like they will, just given who listens to this podcast. Like, we were really starting to head down that more divisive road, as America has. And we fucking turned it around, which is incredible, and leaned back into our kind of original values. So that has been a real, whew, relief. But I feel like this intense divisiveness has really been in the air, you know, for the last, let's say, 10 years, where it's like, whose side are you on? One of my friends who is a firefighter was saying that he was getting grilled by guys at work of like, who are you voting for? And he's like, dude, I'm not going to tell you who I'm voting for. Like, people around the world die for the right for private votes. They're like, oh, so you're voting for the wrong people. You're voting for these guys or these guys, right? Like this intense, like you're with us or you're against us. And how poisonous that is to us as people and as communities, and how it just blocks connection and humanness. And I think when you just put yourself out in the world in the way that you are, you end up meeting all sorts of people and having all sorts of conversations and just getting exposed to perspectives you never would if you just stayed home and talked to people just like you.
Totally. Exactly. Everything you just said, spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's been my experience too when I've traveled a bit. It's like, you make a friend for a night, you make a friend for dinner. You know, when we were in Iceland, we kind of adopted this travel nurse from the US who was there by herself, and we were like, come have dinner with us. And then, you know, the three of us asked her very detailed system-based questions about the gendered role of nursing and toxicity in nursing workplaces. And she was awesome. We had a great conversation, but she was just our friend for dinner. And then she headed on her way. There's a really beautiful thing about that. So I guess my final question, because we should wrap up eventually, is what have you learned about yourself in taking this step and doing this thing that many parts of you thought you couldn't handle and that you couldn't do? What have you learned about yourself?
What have I learned about myself? Oh, I'm stronger than I thought. It sounds so simple. I'm stronger than I thought, and I kind of got it together. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if this is also answering your question, but this is what's coming up for me. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to reroute And you're going to have to if you take on a journey like this. And I think the same thing in private practice, like even in one location, I feel like that's been probably like a huge burning thing when things haven't gone right or the code's not working to get in. It's midnight and it's raining and you're on this hill and the host isn't answering, you know, just like I can tell you so many stories, but like it's okay to change your mind. It's okay to think, oh my gosh, I think I really want to live here, and then get there and it's not what you thought. And then I feel like there's this like pressure, and I don't know if other people resonate with this, but like this pressure to, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to live? And if you don't know, and if you don't follow through with that, like you feel like a failure, mm-hmm. if you don't like maybe try to make yourself like yes. it. And so I feel like that's been huge and is really helping me move through some of the bumps and the unknowns and visa stuff. I mean, I just, like you said, I have a whole new set of, I don't want to say problems, but things to work out. Sure. Even from like how to work this washing machine, it's totally in Thai. And I don't know what coins it needs. I'm with ChatGPT. I'm guessing. I'm hitting it. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yes, totally. And I think in those moments, we really kind of meet ourselves in new ways with those little moments. I have travel stories that are coming up that I want to tell you, but I'll tell you after because, you know, this is not a travel podcast. But Jaleesha, this has been so fun. Thank you for sharing about, you know, this most recent leg of your journey. If folks want to find you and learn more about you, because you are a therapist based in New York.
Yes.
Where can they learn more about you?
They can learn more about me at savingthesaver.com. That's my handle on Instagram, TikTok. That's where I'm rocking out. So yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks, Jaleesha.
Thank you.
I love Jaleesha's point about doing it scared. There are so many things in our lives that we want to do that we are holding ourselves back from, like she was saying with her example, because you don't have enough money or you don't have the right person to support you, or maybe you won't be able to handle it. We always have these stories as to why we shouldn't take that step that we want to take, whether it's the step of leaving the agency that you're at and starting your practice, whether it's the step of making yourself more visible and maybe putting out a podcast or starting an Instagram and, you know, becoming more of like a personal brand, putting your voice and face out there. That's very scary. Whether it is doing like Jaleesha has done and traveling, you know, leaving your home base and letting yourself wander and be free. These things are all scary and they'll probably always be scary. So there's so much wisdom in, as Jaleesha says, doing it scared and realizing that we're never going to feel ready. It's never going to be comfortable. They are, by definition, uncomfortable experiences. And that's also what is so beautiful about them, right? Is whether there is that discomfort, that's where we have growth. That shows us that we are expanding ourselves and we are moving outside of what we already know, right, into these new spaces. So appreciate Jaleesha coming on the podcast today to share about her experiences and what it has taken to get her there. She is such a treat. You can check her out. We've got the link in the show notes where you can learn more about her. She also does things to support other therapists. So definitely take a look into Jaleesha. If you're enjoying the podcast, it's always helpful if you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We'll put the link in the show notes that links to whatever app you use. It will connect you to a place where you can leave us a review. It is a great way for other therapists and health practitioners to find us and to be part of these conversations. Thanks so much for joining me today.